Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, November 13th, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki, or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. From the seed that Enki planted, deep within human DNA, that potential is now awakening. Now is the time for the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, to complete its awakening. It is time for the truth to come out, for the shackles on bodies, minds, and spirits to fall away. It is time for humankind to assert its sovereign right to stand as equals among the peoples of conscience. Welcome, Sovereigns. Thank you for spending your Saturday in New Eridu, and a special thank you to the archive listeners, and hello to everyone in the chat room. Today's topic is going to be about manifestation again, and I manifested a brand new audio this week for our intro, and that was with the help of Mr. Gary Moore. I want to give him a little bit of word fame here. Since he was helpful in me getting set up with Gold Wave,
which is, oh, so much better for recording voices than Audacity is. So thank you, Gary, and thank you for holding my hand and telling me what I needed to do. So I appreciate that. This week has been an interesting one. If we look across the news and see the manifestations that we have made over this last week, it is quite an interesting lot. I think I'll begin with a little note about some of the good things that have happened. The Chinese released their dissident that they've been holding. Her name is escaping me right now, but they let her go, and hopefully she'll stay free, and the Chinese will be chilled about it. That would be a good thing. So that's a good manifestation. Getting China settled down and with the program is, you know, really a big deal, because they have so much potential and so much power and so much resources, and oh, the brain power that's untapped over there is astonishing. And so I wish them luck in finding a good balance for their civilization that is fair to everyone. So, yay, China. Powers that pretend appear to be eating themselves. There's been a couple of interesting items in the news regarding a contest of some sort between Glenn Beck and George Soros. Now, George Soros is a multi-billionaire. He's fantastically wealthy. He's written books. I actually have one of his books about economies and such. George Soros' book is not very well written. I don't think he allowed anyone to edit it. And so I was a little unimpressed by him already. He, of course, is one of the New World Order types. And he might object to that. I don't know, because there seems to be different camps now within the New World Order, or what I refer to as the powers that pretend. But he and Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, of course, is a media pundit, and he's one that a lot of people love to hate. And I have mixed feelings about him. Occasionally he will come out with something that I totally agree with, and most of the time I'm going, are you stupid? So I don't know really how I feel about him. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I don't know him as a person, but I can only watch what I see come out of his mouth on the television or in the media somewhere. But he apparently has leveled a charge against George Soros regarding a way that Soros tried to set him up about some book that he had quoted out of. And apparently that book was written by a Nazi sympathizer. Now, how many years is it since we had that world war? It's been like 60 years now. Aren't we over that yet? Why are we still having Nazi problems? Well, I can tell you why we have Nazi problems. It's because some of the Nazis are in the powers that pretend. It never quite died. We brought them in the United States. We brought them over here to work for our government under a thing called Operation Paperclip. And so we had Nazis working in our government. And, of course, they played along and played the game and said, oh, no, we're not Nazis anymore. We were just scientists. But you know something? Some of them still were. And some of the spies that they brought over, because they were so good at being spies, and they said, oh, we just went along because our families were in danger, or some other palaver that sounded believable. And really, they were still Nazi sympathizers. So they came over here, and they started being Nazis over here. Golly, big surprise. So, no, Nazis didn't die out. We're not done with that war. That war never ended. We may have thought it ended, but it didn't. And I suspect that the reason that we got into World War II with Japan was so that we could drop that nuclear bomb and scare the pants off of the Germans. Now, the Germans were already having problems. They were having supply line issues and stuff like that, but they also had some other projects called the Bell, One of them was called a bell. And they were working, apparently, with ETs, getting ET technology. They were manifesting technology well beyond anything else anyone else had. Plus, they had been over, guess where, in the Middle East, digging up in around the pyramids and all the other archaeological sites. They were all over Iraq. That's what they were looking for, Anunnaki technology. They also were looking in the Caucasus, the mountains in the mountain range in Turkey. And they were looking over there. And guess what's in there? More Anunnaki technology. So these guys were onto it. And they were doing technology exchange, and they were playing both ends against the middle. And my guess is they probably made some kind of a misstep with whichever Anunnaki they were doing dirty business with, and lost their protection and information source. About the same time, they were starting to have difficulty with their supply lines and really needed to bring that technology online, and they couldn't quite do it. There are some really, really interesting stories. If you look online, you can find them. I don't know how true they are, but some very interesting stories about what was going on in those Nazi laboratories, what kind of technology they had. If you look up the bell in particular, it seemed to have been a dimensional device of some sort. It could seemingly disintegrate matter and reintegrate it. It was kind of almost a teleportation device. It didn't work very well. It more than likely just it irradiated people right and left. It was extremely radioactive, extremely dangerous. They didn't have it shielded well. And it also had a tendency to leave people embedded in other solid objects, kind of like what is supposed to have happened with our Philadelphia experiment, which probably was an extension of that same technology, that we probably captured pieces of it or captured a scientist who knew something about it and were fiddling around with it. Well, those Nazis are still in the powers that pretend, and they still have a good bit of that technology. And we have a black budget here in the United States. I'm sure it's the same in every country. A black budget that is dedicated to developing technology without anyone else knowing that we're doing it. And it comes out of everywhere. It comes out of Social Security. It comes out of the Defense Department. It comes out of the Transportation Department. It comes out of the Commerce Department. It comes out of all different budgets. And that's why over the last 5 years at least, there hasn't been a proper federal audit, because we're spending so much on black budget stuff that if the population ever found out how much was being spent, there would be quite an accounting being held. And we can speculate as to why they wanted to manifest all of this black ops technology. Was it because they wanted to advance the powers that pretend's hold on this world? Or are they in fear of something coming back? Like maybe some of the Anunnaki coming back and saying, hey, we want our planet again. Well, probably a little of both. I know one night I was standing out on my deck in the evening. I stand out on my deck with a glass of wine. And a lot of times I can see UFOs when I'm standing there. And on this particular evening, this was the evening that I had done my first blog talk radio show for New Eridu. And that was one of my to-do items as far as Enki was concerned. He wanted me to start talking to people about the message that he had. And I had started doing it. So he put on a little show for me. His ship popped in, and just briefly. And I saw him, and I contacted him. And I go, is that you? And he goes, yeah, it's me. Cool. And he did a couple other little fun things, just being nice, kind of a atta girl for me. I needed it. And something came along, and I thought at first it was a meteorite, but it didn't. It was headed straight for where his ship had been. And Later on, I came to find out that it was a missile. Somebody had shot at him. Well, you know, he said, oops, I got to get out of here, and took off. And didn't tell me at that time what was going on. I figured it out later, and I asked him, he confirmed it. About, 5 minutes after that, I see something hovering over the lake in front of my house. And that thing is a ship of some sort. It looked like a boxcar. It was just the clunkiest looking shape ever. And most of it was mostly cloaked. Most of it was, I don't know how to describe it, a dirty gray brown. Not quite black. It kind of had a rustyish tone to it. Not the blue black, but a brownish rusty black. And it had all these weird little studs on it, little lines and stuff. And that has something to do with the cloaking, I'm sure. And one section of the cloaking wasn't working, so I could see pieces of it. And I could also see the bottom surface of it. The bottom surface was had a little shimmer to it. So you could see the approximate area that this thing covered. It was huge. I mean, this thing was at least the size of a C-5. I used to live near a military base, so I know how big those things are. They're huge. Only this thing didn't have wings like one. It looked like more or less a boxcar. And this thing's hovering over the lake. And then I see it blink out, and I see something else, and I don't know if it's the same one at the time. I don't know if it's the same one or a different one, manifesting a long way away. And then up, you know, closer, and then kind of off to the side, and then at right angles to what it had just been. You know, I mean, this thing's popping in and out all over everywhere, and all of a sudden I realize I'm seeing the same one because I'm seeing that same piece that's missing out of its shielding, repeated, but in a very digital fashion, like something blinking around on a computer screen. And I'm going, what am I looking at? Well, that's probably something I paid for. Not that I wanted to, but something I paid for. Well, I've seen those things since then, but they've had their shielding fixed, so all I get to see is just the very vaguest outline. And I don't know how many people could see that, because I see a little bit further into the UV spectrum than most people. And so I don't know if it's visible to anyone else or if it's just me and dogs. I see what dogs see, essentially. Anyway, manifestation. Why are the powers that pretend manifesting these black ops things? Okay, we've talked about that. What else are they manifesting right now? They are manifesting eating each other, as I mentioned. They are fighting. Glenn Beck and George Soros is an example of that. Another news item that's connected to that is one that came across this morning regarding George Soros meddling in Macedonia. Well, what do you know? Where is Macedonia? Guess what's there? I'm putting a link up in the chat. Guess what's there? You bet it. It used to be old Anunnaki stomping grounds. Hello. We're back at it again. What's he want over there? Don't know. But the smell is always in the same places. The activities are always in the same places. If you track where the powers that pretend are interested in, you will find power spots. Spots that used to be important to the Anunnaki or to some other ET race. I'm not going to speculate on who all at this point, because it has become obvious that I have only had the kindergarten level of introduction to ETs. So I'm not going to make an idiot of myself by saying that I know who they are, because I could only guess. But that's a good thing to be watching out for. And try to figure out what they're manifesting. When they do something that doesn't make sense, try to figure it out, figure out what it is that that really means. Now, a couple other things we've manifested lately. The contrail off of the coast of California. Contrail? Missile launch? You know, I took a look at that thing, and that didn't look like a contrail to me. It looked exactly like a missile launch. And, of course, now the media is making fun of it. What do you do when something's come out and wasn't supposed to? You make fun of those who point it out. Those idiots, they think, you know, it was a missile. Ha-ha, it was just a contrail. Egg on your face. No. No. It was a missile launch. What were they shooting at? I don't know. Who was posturing? This could be a perfectly 3D posturing between two countries. This could have been North Korea coming over here and saying, hey, we can get in this close to you. They could send a submarine in and say, but we can get this close to you. But rather than shoot the missile at us and guarantee their annihilation, instead they just give us the finger with the missile smoke. That's what my guess is. It's something stupid like that. I don't think they were shooting at ET. Somebody had written that they thought they were shooting at Pleiadians. You couldn't come close to hitting a Pleiadian ship with a missile. You might, with a laser or an energy weapon, have a chance of hitting the spot that they were and not being able to tell they're not there anymore because your eyes are too slow. But you're not going to hit them, period. Another thing that was came across the news, again, this is in the far fetch of the speculation spectrum. Possible nuclear accident in India. And the sources were saying, for sure, it is, you know, an accident. But the question is, was it for sure a real event? Don't know. When a couple of weeks ago, Colleen Thomas had put into her YouTube videos something about, you know, the it was a threat, basically, against specifically against the Obama administration. And I think, you know, I'm sorry, I thought that was a crime to threaten, you know, people who are in power like that. So I'm going to repeat this, but I'm going to repeat this in terms of this is what she said. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's hokey, why it's bogus. She said that the Obama administration was going to, and the general powers that pretend in Washington, were going to go to Asia and be gone while there was a false flag event. And she pegged that false flag event for the 11th. Which did not manifest. Yay, didn't manifest. She said that they were going to be in Asia for this. Guess what happened the next morning? I turn on the radio and I'm waking up, and all of a sudden Obama announces that he's going over to India and going to do a tour over there. But he doesn't announce the whole tour. He just says he's going to India. Well, he fiddle farts around in India, Malaysia, and now he went to Japan, and now he, I think, is going to meet with somebody in China. So he's all over, and Hillary Clinton's been down in Australia and who knows where else. So I'm sitting there going, okay, she said this in the video, and I'm sitting there going, oh, BS. Because one of the things she said in that video was that, quote unquote, the Pleiadians were going to drop these folks in their tracks if they ran over there and then created a false flag over here. Well, first of all, Pleiadians don't work that way. That's not what they do. They don't drop anybody in their tracks. That doesn't happen. So, you know, I don't know who she's talking to, but it isn't Pleiadians. Not even Anunnaki will do it that way. Anunnaki do not. They don't murder by proxy. If they're going to kill you, they're going to come up to you and kill you. You will know what hit you. So they get personal with it. But I'm sitting there going, oh, she said they were going over to Asia, and guess where they're going? Now, interesting thing about that manifestation is that they went over there and apparently were supposed to come right back and then didn't. All right? So we got the 11th was supposed to be the go date, and according to Cliff High's WebBot project, that was the original start date of this was the 7th. There was a window of opportunity there between the 7th and the 14th. And it didn't go off on the 7th. And it didn't go off on the 8th or the 9th or the 10th or the 11th. But they skedaddled on the 11th. The rats left the sinking ship on the 11th, or what they thought were going to be the sinking ship on the 11th. 12th goes by. Here we are on the 13th. Tomorrow is the 14th. And that's the date that the latest report from Cliff High's WebBot project pegs as being the date upon which there will be some paradigm shift that will have more impact on human consciousness than 9/11. Wonder what that is. Well, we've got some speculation on that. Was it this nuke? Was it this contrail? Yeah, well, possible posturing of another country who has gotten in very close to our coastline. Yeah. But I don't think that's a 9/11 event thing, because, I mean, it would have been if they had shot the missile and hit Los Angeles. That would have been to a 9/11, twice 9/11 kind of shock. the nuke in India? Well, first of all, we don't even know that was a real event. Let's assume that it was, just for argument. Well, I haven't heard of anybody's Geiger counters going off, so if it did go off, it didn't contaminate, you know, the whole world. It may have done a number on wherever its local area is, like Chernobyl did. But that's not the first time that India's been nuked. When the Anunnaki were here, India and Pakistan and Western China area were very heavily nuked. The Middle East was nuked, and particularly if you look at India, I haven't got statistics on this, but you're always hearing about people coming being born with extra arms and legs and all kinds of strange deformities. Well, guess why? Because they have genetic damage over there. Their genetic code is unstable as a result. So you don't find that the same level of occurrence anywhere but in India and China. Sure, it happens randomly other places, but it really happens fairly often over there. So, you know, if you're going to have nuclear contamination, do you want a nuclear contamination in an area that's never been nuked before, or do you want nuclear contamination in an area that's already contaminated? Well, I'm going to be pragmatic and say I prefer it to stay where it's already messed up. So, no, that's not twice 9/11. It's not good if it's true. Certainly it's not good, but it's not twice 9/11. And CERN. They successfully did their test that was supposed to produce strangelets. Now, I'm assuming they're going to continue with these tests, but at least on the first go-run, we didn't automatically implode the planet. We will know for a fact whether or not they started imploding the planet in about 2 to 3 weeks, because we'll start having a whole lot of earthquakes if they did. I think we're going to have that anyway, though, because the sun's acting up. So I would not push the panic button on that one yet. I've been watching Southern California, the area between Baja California and just south of Los Angeles, where the end of, I guess, what is that mountain range that's there? I forget the name of it. right at the bottom of that. And there's just been, there's a lot of pressure stacking up there. So something big's going to pop there soon because there's just so much pressure that's built up there. And there's only so much that can happen as far as pressure before something releases. Even though that's a big, strong mountain range, it's going to go at one of these points. So that's a possibility. An earthquake of large magnitude in California could potentially be a double 9/11 impact on this country. But this was worldwide. You know, I don't think that the world really cares that much about what happens in California. Certainly America does. But the description of what was going to happen was worldwide. And I don't think that's going to do it. Well, NASA has announced that their Chandra 2 space probe, it's an X-ray platform, has picked up a body of interest in our neighborhood. Body of interest. I wonder what that is. They're going to announce that on Monday, which is the 15th. So either they're going to have a leak on the 14th, or the thing has slipped a bit. So I'm betting on it slipping a bit. I'm betting it's slipping further than they think. But that's going to be interesting if they announce, Nibiru or a large extraterrestrial ship or a black hole that's about to gobble us up. Or a brown dwarf star, or the sun anchor. Yeah, okay. It could get interesting if it points to extraterrestrials. That might be double 9/11, but it wouldn't be as catastrophic as what they describe. It would not be. Sure, the religious fanatics would probably have a little problem with it, and some people would be really scared. But it's not the same level of in-your-face that 9/11 was. 9/11 was really, really in our face. So to have that double impact and to ignite the kind of public debate and angst as 9/11, they'd have to actually be in our face, not just, our detectors picked this up. Well, it's not in my backyard, so I'm not going to worry about it yet. That's going to be what most people are going to say. Where's my donuts? Do a Homer Simpson. Let's see, what else? Commodities markets, financial stuff, shenanigans with the financial markets. Very interesting stuff going on in the markets lately. Doesn't make a bit of sense what they're doing. Commodities market took a big downturn. Stock market stayed, it went down some, but it stayed pretty much up. It was predicted to go down. But the commodities market took a sudden surprising turn down, and that's oil and gold. Why is that? Well, everybody I've talked to speculates that someone artificially is manipulating commodities. Commodities should be going up. All indicators indicate that it should be going up right now. And instead, it turned down sharply. Somebody manipulated that. Now, why? I don't know. But something to watch out for. Why are they manipulating the financial markets the way they are? Now, I think from talking to people in my local area, people are getting much more into the idea of trading for services, for bartering, informally, amongst their neighbors, and giving people stuff or lending people stuff, and not being as proprietary as they used to be. I think a lot of people are catching the scent on the wind that says we can't rely on our money system. We can't rely on our jobs. So we better be able to rely on our neighbors, and that's the truth. You got to be able to rely on your neighbors. Stuff, if stuff happens, it could take a solar flare could take out the satellites, and then we wouldn't have the capacity to move money around that we have now. Our land-based services, assuming they are left intact, are not up to being able to handle that load of transactions. There's just simply not enough infrastructure there. And it would be virtually impossible to buy or sell using the systems that we have today. If you ever been in a grocery store when you're getting ready to check out and there's a power failure, guess what happens? They shut the store down. That's like you can't buy anything because they can't process even the cash sales. They're completely electronified, and if the electronics aren't working, it's all over. I mean, there are some stores that if their internet connection goes down, they can't even process sales because their cash registers are dumb terminals and are not intelligent enough to be able to do anything on their own. Even if you're paying cash, you cannot get the drawer to open. So it would be relatively easy to completely logjam commerce to where even if you have money, even if you have gold, the people that you might need to do business with might simply say, I'm going to take my chances that next week they'll have this fixed, and I will not do business with you until then because I don't want to deal with the bookkeeping hassle. That can get interesting considering the fact that most people only have 3 days' worth of food. All right? So having something to disrupt the financial markets to the point where commerce is shut down for a while, that could have the impact of a double 9/11 because it's going to hurt everybody. It's going to scare everybody. And there's going to be a lot of people who are caught unprepared because they don't have food, they don't have money that they can exchange with their neighbors. They have, you know, they're reliant on ATMs, and the ATMs won't work. You know, they don't have gasoline. They don't have the things that they need. And there's going to be a lot of businesses that may fail if they're out of business for even a day or two. Some businesses will fail. So the disruption, that would be a huge one. That could do it. Let's see, what else? That's it. Now, circling back for just a moment to Colleen Thomas, I'm actually going to try to get her on this show, but I want to talk to her first. Because when I was listening to her last Blog Talk Radio show, she was really putting the scare out there. Really, really terrifying her listeners. And she was terrified herself. You could hear it in her voice. Her voice was shaking. And I felt for her. I really did. She feels this very deeply herself. But the thing is, what are you manifesting with that? What are you manifesting when not only you are afraid? When you're afraid, you're going to manifest stuff that are scary. What your attention goes to is what you're going to manifest. And if you're thinking about scary stuff, guess what you're going to manifest? Scary stuff. And if you take that mind worm and you put it into your listeners, what are they going to manifest? Same thing you are. Is that helpful? No. Not even close. So I want to talk to her before I bring her on because we're not going to do the scary stuff. We're going to acknowledge conditions that are going on. We're going to prepare for conditions that may occur. But we are going to hold our heads above it and hold our attentions above it and hold our manifestations above it. Now, so I'm going to talk to her and see what's going on with her and figure out what to do. A little bit of Pleiadian news. I know I'm dragging on with my announcements really long, today, so I apologize. I had a lot of stuff to go through. As you know, I've been interfacing lately with the Pleiadians, and the Anunnaki are off in quarantine, essentially, having a societal restructuring. They're going to have to get heartily sick and tired of the I'm family, so, you know, I'm part of the ruling family, so I get to say what you do, and work out that patriarchal BS that they've got going on once and for all, and also work out the split that they have in their society between, it's almost like a North-South Civil War kind of scenario with those guys. There's like an old planetary division that, you know, half of their society was looked down on by the other half and was oppressed and repressed by that other half. They got to work that one out too. They need to become healed. And they kind of made a building up to where they had tried to patch over things and give it some time. And that was good, but they didn't do it right because they didn't pull the people that were in those ruling families, didn't pull them out of power. They did not rip down that power structure. They still, like the Britons have, the British have the monarchy. I mean, the monarchy may not have a lot of direct power over England and its holdings, but they remain there. And if the Queen says no, she pretty much has veto power. So what they did was they did the same thing. They had the figurehead leadership in place from old times, and they just left it because it was traditional, and, oh, well, they're just figureheads at this point. Guess what? They're not. The boy that, I say boy, but I guess he's pretty old now, the one that had been left in power, and little son, continued to think of himself in the egotistical terms. And given the first opportunity to seize power, he did so. So they need to learn to humble themselves and to work together as a collective, as a society, a collection, I should say, of individual sovereigns, which they have not learned how to do appropriately yet. So they got to get through that. In the meanwhile, I'm working with the Pleiadians. Well, lately the Pleiadians have been doing some things that have been bothering me, pretty badly bothering me. I'm not going to go to all of the details of it, but it boils down to a couple of things that I figured out, and it took me a while to figure it out. They're picking on myself and Ea regarding issues that we have in stuff that's happened to us. We have wounds, and they picked the scabs off of those wounds is what they did. I'll give you my example. I don't think I should give you his because I don't have permission, but I'll give you mine. I was raised, I've never been in a family that was really normal. The few lifetimes I had that weren't just complete horror shows, something happened such that I was separated from my family in every one of those situations. And in this life, my family wasn't a family. It was a project team. And they acted like one. There was no real affection. I think my mother actually, the person who played my mother, I should say, I was adopted, and I'm not entirely sure she was entirely human. I think she might have been a hybrid also. Most people's eyes are not as far apart as hers were. And she had telltale autoimmune problems, severe autoimmune problems, like you find in a hybrid. And so I think she was probably an earlier experiment. And she could not breed. So I think she had she actually cared about me. I think over time that my grandfather who raised me also may have, I'm still on the fence on that one as to whether he really cared or whether it was just simply important to him to prove a point and I was the point somehow. And so it doesn't, you know, that one's kind of up in the air a bit still. But I have a wound that has to do with family and abandonment and rejection and not fitting in and not having a home of my own. And the Pleiadians have been working on that with me because they give me a thing saying, you are more like us than Ea is, and you and he should not associate with each other. And I'm sitting there looking at them. I'm going, hey, guys, the two of us have had a relationship that dates back to the very early days of this universe. We were, you know, called something different back then. But we've been together for a very long time. We've had long separations, but we are a unit. And I picked my family. Thank you very much. I've had to make my own family in every lifetime that I can remember. Either because my family rejected me or they were killed or something happened. But I've had to make my own family. I'm used to doing that. You, I've known for less than a month, and you're telling me that I can't associate with someone who's been in my existence forever, essentially. And you're telling me that I don't have the right to pick my family. Mm-mm. And he's supposed to be family, and you're not treating him like family. That's not nice. If his mother is one of your people, where is she? Why hasn't she said hello? That's not treating him like family. Mm-mm. So I look at this and I get ticked, right? Well, okay, I'll work through my family issues. And I will continue to eschew the family issues I don't want to deal with. We'll see where that goes. I'll butt heads with them. I'm not afraid of them. And I'm not afraid of myself either. I may not always be proud of myself, but I'm not afraid of myself. And that right there is the key to manifestation. Not being afraid of yourself. Not being afraid of your own power. Not being afraid of your own potential to make mistakes. So many people hold themselves back from manifesting simply because they're afraid of themselves. You know, and I gotta admit, I stepped into this really timidly. When I first started realizing I was dealing with extraterrestrials, when I first started realizing that I was dealing with really big forces, you know, I was a little reticent. There were days where I had to just get up and walk away and go out on the deck and drink a beer because it was a little more than my mind wanted to deal with. Not more than it could deal with, more than it wanted to deal with. And as I have gotten further into it, I have realized that there is a threshold beyond which it just doesn't make sense to hold back anymore. And I'm past that threshold. I am out there. If there is an ET closet or whatever you want to call it, I'm out of that closet in every way possible. I haven't painted it on my door yet, but I may. But everybody knows, and I don't flinch when I tell people about it. I don't necessarily go up to everybody and go, hey, have I told you about my ET contact? I don't do that, but I could. And I've lost my fear of these things. As I go through this, I'm losing fear of more things every day. And I just do them. Because there's only one way to do it. That is to do it. Just do it. And that means not just do it. Do it to completion. No flinching, no halfway measures. Do. So, that's the key to manifestation. If you can't do, whether you're right or wrong, doesn't matter. If you can't do, you're not going to get it done. Which brings me to another manifestation that's not too good. That manifestation is Haiti. I have been watching what's going on with those folks down there, and I feel really, really sorry for them. So let me say that first of all. Second of all, I'm going to say they're bringing it on themselves. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and this one I've been able to confirm. Apparently, when the French had possession of Haiti, one of their governors made a deal with the devil. Now, I don't know what he made a deal with. It probably wasn't the devil, and it doesn't matter. What matters is they believe this. And as a result, the Haitian people believe that they are cursed. I've talked about this before. And I was hoping that that earthquake situation would have got them through that, but it didn't. They're still bringing it on themselves. It's not bad enough yet. Oh, I hope they purge this soon. I really do. But what can we do to help? Well, aside from trying to do something to get relief supplies to them and get the powers that are supposed to be helping over there to release the supplies and to do as they should, other than that, here's what we can do. We can do a manifestation exercise. I asked you guys to manifest the other day, to put up a grid of light around this planet, to turn down the volume on the bad things that were coming. And you know something? I think that pushed out I think it pushed it out. Cliff High, was saying it looks like the window has moved back and it's at a high level, but it's evening out. That's our cap. We're doing it. We're pushing out the bad stuff. We're capping it. We're turning it down. We're muting it. Keep doing it. Keep up the thing where it's like if somebody's doing something bad, it comes to the surface. Let's get the perpetrators, when they pull something, make them visible. Turn up the volume on making the bad guys visible. At the same time, we're turning down the volume on what they're doing so that it has a lesser effect. Let's get these guys purged. Let's use this approach to surface the bad guys, get them identified, and get them out of the way so that they can't continue this stuff. Let's keep doing it. I want to blow that WebBot project's mind. I want us to introduce a brand new variable into the equation, and that is, what are people manifesting in their world? Is it something good or something negative? Let's manifest something useful. Contain harm, surface evildoers. Let's do that. We can also put some of our attention on Haiti. And forgiveness, Ho'oponopono. Let's Ho'oponopono Haiti so that they can heal. Let's see if we can't give them a manifestation to let them know that they're forgiven. Okay, maybe there's nothing to forgive, but let's forgive it anyway. Let's give these guys a break, even if they won't give themselves one. Let's give them a break. Join me on that manifestation. Now, I've got some callers here, and I have no time. left here. I'm going to try to, actually, no, I don't. I have nobody with their hands up. I lied. I'll talk really quickly on changing the course of manifestations and how to recognize when you're about to manifest. The other day in chat, I was watching all of the negative terms that were coming up in the chat. And I started going, nix on this, nix on that, nix on the other thing. And finally I said, are y'all noticing a theme? And guess what? I think that it was actually noticed because the amount of negativity kind of dropped off. How do we notice when we're about to manifest something? If you are moving your lips, if you are moving your limbs, if you are having a dream, you're manifesting something at all times. You're putting your thoughts out there. Now, there are certain structures that you have to cause that manifestation, so you're not going to have it every time. But you're going to randomly trip into one every now and again. And a lot of times you go, oh, that's exactly what I didn't want to have happen. Guess what happened? You just manifested that. You didn't want to spill something, so of course you did. You didn't want to drop something, so of course you did. That's feeling that you get when you have one of those incidents. Remember it and keep it in mind. We have to learn, just like babies have to learn not to poop in their pants, we have to learn how not to poop in our manifestations. Because we do it all the time. We poop in our manifestations all the time. We're completely incontinent with it. We have to learn when we're about to do it and learn how to stop or redirect the manifestation into what we really want. One of the things that Enki worked with me a lot with was, is that what you really want to manifest? And 9 times out of 10, the answer was no. Well, guess what? I was about to manifest the thing that I didn't want. Because I was worrying about it, because I was putting my energy in it. Worry. When you worry, stop. Stop dead. If you're afraid of something, stop. Turn around. Do the opposite. Do anything else. If you can't do the opposite, do anything else. Move your mind off of the thing that's bothering you. Get out of the situation that you're in. Distract yourself. Pinch yourself. Eat something. Go running. Do anything other than continue down the path to a negative manifestation. You will find, suddenly, things like what happened to me this week, where I had sequences of numbers, just unbelievable number sequences coming up out of the woodwork. Because I'm operating in a non-random manner at this point. The more non-random you become, the more these coincidences start happening in your life. Well, not coincidences. You're changing the mathematical nature of the universe. Watch your lives for that. Join me on manifestations, positive ones. Learn to shut yourself down when you get negative. Become continent in your manifestation. Pick up the virility of the sovereign. Guess what? You've already got it. You just don't know it. You're not operating out of it. It's already here. Join me on this. Take this week. Work on your manifestations. Thank you so much. We're going to close the show out with Finding the Balance by Kevin MacLeod.